eyes of our understanding would be opened and enlightened, that we might know more of you. Lord, we pray, Lord, for those that are sick. We pray for those that are out for other reasons as well, Lord, that you would just be with them and bring them back to us as soon as possible. And Lord, we'll just give you praise and glory for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. First Thessalonians chapter 2, and I want to start in verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. And I read that as a starting point for to continue our thoughts that we've been talking about the last few weeks on the Word of God. And it's something that is received, if you notice what it says here in verse 13, that when you receive the Word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the Word of men, but it as is in truth the Word of God, which effectually worketh in you that believe. So it's something you receive, it's something that you believe, and what you see here in this verse is you see the comparison between the Word of God in comparison to the Word of men. Because Paul said, when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men. In other words, we are to, there is a difference, and the word of God is something that should be exalted much more highly than the word of men. But we find today that that's not the case. We're looking at the word of God, and we've been looking at how, over the past few weeks, we've been looking at the fact that It effectually worketh. It's the beginning of our relationship. Our interaction with God it all starts with the Word of God. In other words, you don't reverence the Lord any more than you reverence His Word. You don't love the Lord any more than you love His Word. You don't know anything about God outside of His Word. Everything that we know about God, everything that we believe, everything that we feel as far as love is concerned, it is no more than how we feel about His Word. Don't say that you love the Lord and you don't love His Word, because if you don't love His Word, you don't love the Lord. Don't say you trust the Lord and you have faith in the Lord if you don't trust and have faith in His Word. You don't, because you can't separate the two. In John, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There's no separation there. But you see, today, in our culture and society, we value the Word of men more than the Word of God. And what I want to look at today is this, how God sees His Word, and how important He looks at this. In fact, turn back to Deuteronomy, and look in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And this is, of course, Moses here, And notice the wording here in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 58. Verse 58. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, notice that's all capitals, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed even great plagues, and of the long continuous and sore sicknesses, and of long continuance. Notice it says, if thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name. You notice the correlation there between obeying and doing the word, all the words of this law, and then that having to do with fearing His name? In other words, your reverence and your attitude toward all of the words is a direct correlation of your fear and your reverence toward the Lord Himself. Now, in this case, this is the law of Moses, of course, and we don't believe or teach that we are to do all of the laws of Moses, but the context here is that, but the principle here is that it's all of the words. You see, the Word of God is made up of individual words. It's all the words. In other words, all the individual words make up the entire Word of God. Just like we talk about the church, which is His body, the body of Christ. One body, there's one. Just like there's one Word of God. But that body is made up of individual members. And each member of the body of Christ is righteous and holy in Christ. The Word of God is made up of individual words of God, and each of those words are pure and holy and right where they should be. And so the words, I want to look at that. I want to look at this. Notice in Proverbs, turn over to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee and thou be found a liar. Every word of God is pure. So, you don't add to it. Why? Because the words you might add aren't pure words. When we start adding to the Word of God, we make it not pure. Just like if someone adds to the gospel, the simple gospel that Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for your sins and was buried and rose again, that simple gospel of simply believing and putting your trust in what He did, that's pure. That's holy. That's what God has put in order. But when we add to that, when we add baptism, when we add confession, when we add good works, what does it do? It makes it not pure anymore. It takes it away, and we'll see that. Look over in Mark. We don't have to hold on to Proverbs. Turn over to Mark chapter 7. We're not to add to the Word of God. Why? Because every word is pure, and if we add something to it, it's not pure. Those words aren't pure. Notice in Mark chapter 7. In Mark chapter 7, the Pharisees here make this big deal. Now, well, let's just read it. In Mark chapter 7, verse 1. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands, oft eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. In other words, there was a tradition that was taught and was believed, and that was that you had to wash your hands before you could eat. Now, that might be good hygiene practice. That might seem wise to man. In fact, it's a pretty good idea. Sounds pretty good. But notice on now. And when they came from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be which they have received to hold. In other words, this is things they've received as the word of men. Let's go on and look at it. Which they have received to hold as the washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels and of tables. In other words, they had this whole elaborate ceremonial washing, and everything had to be washed and everything had to be cleaned, and you had to wash your hands and you had to make sure you went through this whole process of washing everything. Again, maybe not a bad idea, but is it from God? Is this something that is directed through His Word? Let's look. Then the Pharisees, verse 5. Then the Pharisees and the scribes ask Him, "Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands?" He answered and said unto them, "Well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." They honor him with his lips. They say all the right things. They have all the right answers in man's wisdom, but their heart is far from them. Verse 7, "Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do." They lay aside the word of God. They nullify it. They diminish it. It's not that important. Oh yeah, Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. Yeah, yeah, but I believe I need to live a good life too. And that's what they zero in on. It makes the Word of God of none effect. When you add to His Word, it defiles and makes it of none effect. By these Pharisees here adding to the commandment and making a big deal about washing and all of this, they laid aside the real commandment of God, which He says, "You honoreth me with your lips, but your heart is far from me." Well, what was the greatest commandment? Love the Lord thy God with all thy what? Heart. That was the main thing, and they were missing it. Why? Because they were adding to. Notice on. Verse 8 again, "For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many of the such like things ye do. For, and he said unto them, Full well ye reject the commandment of God that ye may keep your own traditions." And that's where we are today in religion. That's where religion is. It is tradition. We do it this way. This is how we do it. This is what's important. And then the Word of God is laid somewhere down near the bottom. and you can't love the Lord, you can't honor the Lord, you can't reverence the Lord, fear the Lord, if you don't fear and reverence His Word, and you add to it, you defile it, and you diminish it. Notice what Paul said. Look over in Titus. Look over in Titus. And the thing, that's the thing with the with all of these various translations, what it has done is it has diminished and watered down the true words of God contained in this King James Bible. Notice Titus chapter 1. Context here in verse 9. Titus chapter 1, verse 9. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able to, by sound doctrine, both exhort and convince the gainsayers. Now this is a bishop. This is things a bishop should do. Holding fast the faithful word, that they may be able to, with sound doctrine, exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, religious people. In Paul's day, that was the Jews, but it's religious people and who are doing things, doing works, in this case circumcision, to please God. Verse 11, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. And that comes, that's where it comes down to every time. It is money. You can't, you have to, if you're going to make a living in a denomination or a religious system, you have to teach the doctrines of that religious system in order to get paid from that religious system. So that's where it comes to. Notice verse 12. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Commandments of men, the word of men, the fables, the untruths. You see, that turns people away from the truth. Whatever it is. When you add to, that's why Proverbs, every word of God is pure. Add not. Don't add. You don't add to it. You don't try to make it better. You don't try to change it up so it might be more pleasing to your people. You stick with the words of God. Unto the pure, verse 15, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. You see, when you get away from the Word of God and you add, it just defiles. It's not pure anymore. Every Word of God is pure. Verse 16, they profess that they know God. What was it Jesus said? With their lips, they honor me. They profess that they know God. But in works, they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate. Why? Because their heart is far from Him. They're working through works. What does it say? But in works, they deny Him. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means that they're working. They're following the word of men. They're following the commandments of men. And in doing that, they're denying the Lord. They're adding to. It's not just trusting Christ and believing that He died for your sins. It's adding to it. It's doing this and doing that and coming forward and saying a prayer and doing this and doing that. And so all of the it defiles the whole thing. You see, man always messes it up when he puts himself in anything. But the Word of God is pure. And it's His commandments. You don't want it added to. He says in Revelation, look over there in chapter 21. I'm sorry, chapter 22. Verse 18, Revelation 22, verse 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Now I know in context this is written about this book of Revelation. But I also believe that there's a significance in the fact that in the very last words of the Word of God, there's a warning to not to add to or take away from the Word of God. Why? Well, you take away, you know, people add to things to make it sound better, make it to fit in with their tradition and their religion, and they take things out that they don't like. You know, they take things out that don't fit. We're not to do that either. We don't change the words because we don't like what the Word says. You don't add to, you don't take away. Why? Because God has exalted His Word, and His Word is made up of words, and those words are pure words. And He has exalted His Word. They notice in Psalm, go back to Psalms and look in, let's see, Psalms 138. In Psalms 138. Verse 2, Psalms 138, verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Notice the correlation here between worshiping and praising. And then it goes directly into how you magnify the Word of God. And he says, I have magnified my Word above all my name. That says that God exalts His Word and magnifies His Word more than we can even think of. You know why? Because if you study your Bible, you know that the name of God is holy and righteous and very something to be feared. In fact, when Moses was talking to the Lord there at the burning bush, and Moses says, the people are going to want to know your name, Lord. You know what? Here we are. It's been 400 years since Abraham and since Joseph, and 400 years, and the Hebrews never knew the name of the Lord. He never told them His name. And then when Moses asked there in the burning bush, you know what his answer is? My name, I am that I am, was his name. And it was later on that it became Jehovah. In fact, look back in Exodus. Look back in Exodus chapter, I think it's chapter 6. Exodus Notice in Exodus chapter 6. Verse 3. Well, let's look in verse 1. Let's just look, start in verse 1. Exodus 6, verse 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses, and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known unto them. He wouldn't even reveal his name, Jehovah. Why? There's something sacred about his name. His name is exalted. Notice in Philippians, turn over to Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2. Speaking here of Jesus, verse 7, we'll just start there in Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. His name is something that demands reverence and demands worship and demands the fear. And yet, he says in Psalms that he's magnified his word above his name. This book, not the physical, I'm not saying the physical pages. I'm not saying the leather and the I'm not saying that we worship this physical form here. I'm not saying that this is some sort of idol. What I'm saying are the words of God. The word of God is something that should be top of the line. It should be the number one priority in our life, because we can no longer worship the Lord or love the Lord or reverence the Lord or fear the Lord any more than we reverence and fear His Word. We should spend time studying it and reading it and allowing it to effectually work in our life every single day. We should allow the Word of Christ to dwell in us richly. It should fill us. Being filled with the Spirit is being filled with His Word and His words that make up His Word. So allow that to happen. Now, the next time, hopefully we'll continue this and look at some more things about the Word of God. Okay? All right, you can take a break.